This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
When I was four, I had a toy made of plastic and of joy. A magic musical machine from a drum, a stick, and strings. I couldn't know as I would play. I lived to meet the man one day. Playing the songs that shaped my life, taught the world to sing. Oh, hear the banjo ring. Hear the people sing. Hope changes everything. Sing, people sing. Summer of my 18th year, in San Francisco he'd appear. I jumped onto a trolley car, alone and wondering. The Grove was full when I got there, people came from everywhere. I climbed a redwood by the stage to watch the reveling. Oh, hear the banjo ring, hear the people. Sing, people, sing. Years went by, I got a call, a festival in early fall, along the Hudson River shore, a harvest gathering, asking me to volunteer to keep the river clean and clear, to celebrate the river's life and all the gifts she brings. Oh, hear the banjo ring, hear the people sing. Hope changes everything, sing, people sing. Stood up to McCarthy's rage, rallied for a living wage, rode with Woody, marched with Dr. King, patiently brought us along, taught us each and every song. With Toshi by your side, you could do most anything. You showed us how the world could be, living with integrity. Together we create a force beyond imagining. As I observed your dimming light, I felt a spark in me ignite. But I would trade it all today to hear your banjo ring. Oh, hear the banjo ring. Hear the people sing. Hope changes everything. Sing. Oh, hear the banjo ring, hear the people sing. Oh, changes everything, sing, people sing, sing, people sing. Sing, people, sing.
Pete Seeger said the powers that be can control the media, but it's hard to stop a good song. Pat's songs will be sung well into the 22nd century. That tribute to Pete Seeger, written by Pat Humphreys, Sing, People, Sing. Pat Humphreys and Sandy O are here in our studio together. They are Emma's Revolution. It's such a treat to have them stop by. Thank you and welcome.
Oh, so delighted to be here. Thank you for having us.
Tell us a little bit about what Pete Seeger meant to you. Could you?
You know, Pete was, you know, first at a distance, a real sort of hero of mine, but as I got older and started to learn about how music can be a force for change, I got really, really curious about this guy. I was drawn in by his kids' songs when I was a little kid, as this song reflects. But then I grew up in the Cuyahoga River Valley in Cleveland. And it would have been 1972, Pete came through Cleveland to talk about the Cuyahoga River after he had been doing work on the Hudson River through the Hudson River Sloop Clearwater Project. And I thought, you know, how is it that this guy with a banjo and a bunch of songs can clean up a river or you know, change the course of how we think about things? So I was really, really interested in the work that he did. And followed his music and followed his activism then, and eventually made my way to the Hudson River Valley, and first to volunteer on the Clearwater, and then I was hooked, you know, and did a lot of work with him over a number of years, and sang on a number of stages with him, and got to know the family quite well until the his last days. I was at his bedside, and we were talking earlier. Guy Davis and David Amram and I were singing some songs. Guy had just come from his mom's bedside.
Right.
And you know, he said, I
just, like Ruby Dee.
Yeah, Ruby Dee's mom. It was his mom. Yep. And he said, I can't sing any more sad songs. And so David and Guy and I just started kind of cutting up a little bit and getting a little rowdy. And it was really interesting to, Pete wasn't really responding verbally, but boy, he was doing his version of tapping his toes. Uh-huh. It was really pretty remarkable. He was definitely hearing us, and we sang to him, and people had been coming through to sing Pete's songs back to him in gratitude for all of his years of singing his songs to us. And you know, in those, eventually the rest of the room cleared out, and I leaned over to Tina, his daughter, and said, you know, you have shared your father with the whole world your whole life. Do you just want some time alone with him? And she said, no, stay. Mm. And I was there with a dear friend of ours who was almost in her 90th year by then, and we all circled around his bed and sang some more of his songs. We sang to my old brown earth and to my old blue sky, I'll now give these last few molecules of I. And you who sing and you who stand nearby, I do charge you not to cry. Guard well our human chain. Watch well you keep it strong, as long as sun will shine. And this our home, keep pure and sweet and green, for now I'm yours, and you are also mine. And then, gosh, what's the other one? I sang...
the one that you sang on the recording, which...
Yes, yes.
Now our brains time. Are slow from a long...
Old Devil Time. Yes. Mm-hmm. I sang Old Devil Time. And Pete had written out on a piece of cardboard, because he was very, very with it until just about his last couple of days. So he had been cutting wood a week before he went into the hospital and set up the fires up at the house and the wood stoves. And he wrote out the words to Shakespeare's Sonnet 65. And we passed around. I'm sorry, I didn't pull it up on my phone before I got in here, but we passed that around and read it all around the circle from the piece of cardboard he had written it on, and said our goodbyes. And, you know, we all just said we loved him and thanked him and thought about all the remarkable ways he touched our lives. And this song just came sort of bubbling up from there. And, you know, we had to all think about, okay, you know, did all the family get into town? And Peggy was still on her way. She hadn't landed yet. So we wanted to get word to her. And somebody needed to go up to the house just to make sure everything was safe up there. So I went on up, and that's when I found that the fires had been all set up and ready to go, and all you had to do was strike a match. So I just, you know, spent some time there sitting by the wood stoves and warming up the house and thinking about him. So more of the thoughts about, you know, about the ways that he really shaped my life as an activist songwriter. Sandy was out of town. I picked her up at the airport the next day, and we went back to our friend Connie Hogarth's house and finished the song there.
You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio. Our guest in the studio, Emma's Revolution. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about Pete's Charge, if there was one. Mm. Can you play another tune?
Sure.
This song is called Still Here. But we're dead, she said, softly crying. No, we're not, I said, we're still here. Take a breath, I said, feel your heartbeat. Take my hand, my love, we're still here. All our family have been lost at sea, but we have made it through. It won't be easy to be refugees, but we will make it through. We're still here, we're still here. I'm with you, my dear. We're still here, we're still here. Ease your fear. But they're gone, she said, all my brothers and their children and their wives. Yes, it's true, I said, I can't change that, but we'll honor them with our lives. All our memories we will carry with each breath and each prayer. Their faces we will never see, still there with us everywhere. We're still here, we're still here. I'm with you, my dear. We're still here, we're still here. Ease your fear. So we'll stay, she said, slowly breathing. Yes, we'll stay, I said, you and I. And we'll live, she said, slowly turning her face towards the open sky. All your hopes and dreams still live in me, as my dreams live in you. Our faith is deep, our hearts are strong, and we will make it through. We're still here, we're still here. I'm with you, my dear. We're still here, we're still here. Ease your fear. We're still here, we're still here. I'm with you, my dear. We're still here, we're still here. Ease your fear.
Who wants to tell us about that tune, Still Here?
You know, when I wrote it, I was thinking about, I was part of a songwriting group, actually, and they send you a phrase to use in a song on Monday morning, and then by Sunday midnight, you need to have a song. And the phrase was just unbelievable. I thought, I'll never be able to use that in a song. But that was the first line of this song. And when I sang it to myself, but we're dead, I just thought of what it would be like to be those Syrian refugees who were crossing on a boat and washing up on shore and waking up and not really knowing if they were alive or dead. And it just went like that. And it's a conversation. When I envision it, it's a conversation between this couple who have washed up on the beach and he has to convince her, is how I see it, that she's here and they'll make it.
Emma's Revolution in our studio. That was Sandy Oh talking. We're going to take a short break and come back and hear some more. This is NHPR.
Many veterans have come to rely on service dogs after sustaining physical injuries in the military.
You're fine, I'm fine.
The VA is still studying whether dogs help vets with cognitive disabilities and PTSD. What's the holdup?
We have tons of anecdotal stories of service members saying, look, but for that dog, I would be dead today.
On the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition weekdays from 5 to 9 with Rick Ganley. Tell your smart speaker to tune in to NHPR. Support for New Hampshire Public Radio comes from you, our listeners, in Golf and Ski Warehouse, with stores in Hudson, Greenland, and West Lebanon, New Hampshire, and in Scarborough, Maine. Learn more at golfskiwarehouse.com. And the Glass Museum presenting Broke, the Affordable Arts Fair, Saturday, November 30th in Peterborough, welcoming visitors at the townhouse from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for all ages. Emma's Revolution is in the studio with us. What can you play next for us?
This is a song that became kind of a signature, and some of you might recognize this. It was a song that why do I have to say more about it? I could just start playing it.
Okay.
Great Big Dipper, we are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming in the stream together, some in power, some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings that we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever, we're all swimming to the other side. I am alone, I am searching, hungering for answers in my time. I am balanced at the brink of wisdom. I'm impatient to receive a sign. I move forward with my senses open. Imperfection be my crime. In humility I will listen. We're all swimming to the other side. We are living neath the great Big Dipper. We are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming in the stream together. Some in power, some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings that we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side. On this journey through thoughts and feelings, binding intuition, my head, my heart, I am gathering the tools together. I'm preparing to do my part. All of those who have come before me, band together and be my guide. Loving lessons that I will follow. We're all swimming to the other side. We are living neath the great Big Dipper. We are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming in the stream together. Some in power, some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings that we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side. When we get there, we'll discover all of the gifts we've been given to share have been with us since life's beginning, and we never noticed they were there. We can balance at the brink of wisdom, never recognizing that we've arrived. Loving spirits will live together. We're all swimming to the other side. We are living neath the great Big Dipper. We are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming in the stream together. Some in power, some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings that we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side.
People were out there singing along to that.
Yay.
Yeah.
I love that.
Really beautiful tune.
That's so nice.
I know Louis Collins recorded it. Some kids over in Keene recorded it. Let's see, Holly Near recorded it.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild to hear, have your song being recorded by so many people, huh?
Yeah. No, it's a great honor. And you know, doubling back to Pete a little, you know, he would always say think globally and act locally, and Pete did a lot of things along the Hudson River to clean up the river and raise awareness in general. And he actually used to sing this song on the banks of the Hudson. They started a swim across the Hudson, partly to celebrate the fact that the river is so much cleaner than it was, you know, in 1969 when the Clearwater started. And so they would swim from Beacon, where Pete lives, over to Newburgh and back. And when folks would come back, Pete and a group of friends would stand on the banks and sing that song.
That's so great. Now, I know you sang for the Dalai Lama. Did you sing that song, or was it a different song?
We actually didn't. That's the whole story about that. Oh. Is like, we were doing a concert in the Seattle area, and this woman came after the show, and she hands us a piece of paper that, or somebody else handed it to us, whatever, saying, you know, we were in a stadium with 100,000 people singing your song, Peace, Salam, Shalom, for the Dalai Lama. And we were like, what did you call us? Like, what did you text us? Like,
you didn't say.
Maybe we would have liked to have been there. So our song was sung for the Dalai Lama, okay. Which is an amazing honor.
Right.
But we also would have enjoyed being there. Just a little bit.
Sure. Wow. Did you give her your number?
You know, that's why time. I think it was a piece of paper that someone else handed me. So I don't even know who it was. But
wow.
Yeah.
That is so,
so
neat.
That is kind of amazing.
That
you know?
Is amazing.
And we do love... what we do in the sense that we write these songs that people pick up and use because that's why we write them. They sing them at demonstrations. They sing them at weddings. They sing them at, you know, at every moment of their
graduation.
Sure. Graduation
ceremonies. Yeah. Yeah.
And that is amazing to be a songwriter whose songs become part of people's lives because, of course, many songs from when, you know, in my youth and all that kind of stuff are part of my life. So I love that work.
I wonder how Pete Seeger felt, you know, knowing that so many of his little tunes had been captured by so many and shared.
Oh, and used in such important moments, too. Yeah.
And to hear children singing your tunes.
Yes.
He loved to hear children singing his songs. He loved to hear children singing, period.
Yeah.
But he especially loved to hear children singing
And he
his
often
songs
recorded them singing
yep.
with
he
him.
Yeah.
He worked a lot. He was really very devoted to children. It's interesting because... you know, after the McCarthy era, and you know when all of his gigs at all the Weavers gigs were canceled, and it was Toshi's idea to go to churches and universities and camps and start, you know, with the people that were learning, the people that were doing the organizing, and the little ones that were going to grow up and change the world. And that was really how he stayed viable and stayed in circulation, and that's certainly how his songs remained viable and stayed in circulation. And it really became his life's joy to be able to sing with and influence kids.
And I have to say that he said the McCarthy era never ended for music, especially, and maybe just for all the arts. And that's kind of true for us. I mean, we sing at progressive churches a lot. Just on this tour, we've been doing a lot of fundraisers for immigration support groups. But we do them at progressive churches. And so there is that element where... you know, what we sing about sometimes isn't going to make it onto pop radio.
Right.
So we're always grateful for NPR and all of the work that you all do to keep voices on the radio who speak the truth and who speak about people's lives and sing about people's lives.
Speaking of voices, who are the voices now of truth and integrity and that kind of thing? I mean, we have so much respect for the work that Pete Seeger did for the planet and for community. Did you ever feel when Pete Seeger died that something would be lost in that kind of freedom to express yourself?
Well, you know, the First Amendment is always being challenged, and you know we're seeing that on all levels in the media, of course, you know, and the media itself, you know, is really being challenged, and journalists that you know are in danger in a lot of places, the interesting thing is, yes, we've lost a tremendous voice and a tremendous resource in Pete Seeger, but there's a really interesting thing that's beginning to bloom as a result of, you know, these incredibly trying times that we're going through right now. And one of the things that we're finding is that young people, where there was a period of time where I think music, social change music was considered sort of part of an early era and not something that spoke to young people. Young people are really coming around to creating resistance choirs, and they're not only teaching and writing songs with groups of folks, but they're teaching teachers. They're teaching leaders to lead songs in areas, and they're getting together. We were actually just at a gathering of song leaders in California. And they were a group of folks that came from all over the country. And a number of those folks, not everybody necessarily did progressive music, but a number of those folks were really feeling the need to move in that direction and mm-hmm. feeling the call, mm-hmm. I think, to fill in some of that space that that Pete left.
We had a visit a while ago with Annie Patterson.
Oh, she's wonderful.
And so that was a lot of fun. And just such hopeful, hopeful messages.
And, right. And we
loved workshops going on.
We loved doing that whole tour with them last spring here in New England with Annie and Peter Blood and Charlie
was Reggie
King
Harris
was on
involved
it.
With that? Yeah.
Charlie King was on the ones we were on. Magpie was on
them. Magpie.
Sally Rogers was
and
on
then,
that one.
Yeah, we're bringing Annie
out. It's like a dream team.
It was great.
It was really sweet.
Sally Rogers,
very
that
sweet.
Was wonderful.
Yeah.
And Annie's coming out to California, and we're going to do some more of those shows with the three of us. Yeah, so. And I was going to say, you know, we were accustomed to thinking of Pete and those voices and Joan Baez, right, and Holly. And they're still here doing their amazing work, Joan and Holly. But it is really important for people now to remember and to just really look out for voices right now, because we are still doing this work through music, and we are still doing this joyful, sometimes funny, sometimes intense music, because it's an intense time.
There are some young folks that are coming up doing some really beautiful stuff. There's a woman out of Albany named Taina Asili mm-hmm. that's been doing some really beautiful stuff. Latina kind of activism and global activism, and she's been traveling around the world mm-hmm. doing this stuff. There's also someone who's older but has been doing some really powerful things, still younger than we are by a fair bit, Pamela Means, that you may well have crossed paths with, who's in Massachusetts.
Right, and David Rovix has been writing political songs for a long time.
Yeah.
Tom Nielsen from the Greenfield area.
Ryan Harvey is writing some great stuff. He's doing a lot of international travel as well.
And we know that Chris Matthews is addressing some issues in her songs, too. And she's lovely. We met her at some festivals this year.
We just got her first album. I think it was her first album.
Yeah.
Yep.
We just got an album in the mail last week.
Good.
Yeah, so there are a lot of folks really doing great things. Yeah. And there's zillions of names that we don't even know all over. I think, this administration has really lit a flame under a lot of people. And people are really coming forward and speaking out. And there's a lot of incredible art that's speaking to these issues.
This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Can you play another tune for us?
Sure.
Emma's Revolution in our studio. It's so exciting to have them right here, like 6 feet away from me. I'm a little starstruck. Is that all right?
That is very sweet. So we have been writing songs for what's been going on now. And we'll give you one of the more recent ones because... You know, this is the time. Hit it, Pat. So impeachable, that's what you are. So impeachable, you too, Bill Barr. With Ukraine, it was quid pro quo. The whistle blew, Mulvaney told us so. Never before has someone been more très impeachable in every way. Evidence reveals more every day. Oh, my Donald, it's incredible. Each thing you do is more regrettable. We'll get you soon, my so impeachable you. the legal grounds for an impeachment investigation of individual one include obstruction of justice, violations of the foreign and the domestic emoluments clauses of the United States Constitution, conspiring to commit crimes involving soliciting and receiving things of value from a foreign government and foreign nationals and concealing those violations, advocating illegal violence, abusing presidential power, recklessly threatening war. So impeachable, need I say more? Can't wait to kick you out that White House door. We're on your trail, can you hear us now? You'll go to jail, some way, somehow, you know it's true. My so impeachable, you.
Sandy O, you made what we've been listening to for months now in the news sound so sexy. The sexiest I've heard the discussion. So thank you for that.
You're so welcome.
And if folks want to see the video.
You can see the video. It's on our website, emmasrevolution.com. It's on Facebook. It's on YouTube.
You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio. A treat to have Emma's Revolution. That's Pat Humphreys and Sandy O. We're going to take a quick break and come back and visit some more with Emma's Revolution here at New Hampshire Public Radio.
NHPR offers a lot of very valuable original reporting.
Ken Hill of Moultonboro talks about why he joined NHPR's Leadership Circle.
The fact that we can turn it on any time of day and listen to something worthwhile, not only about national affairs, but also about local affairs in New Hampshire, more than repays us for the contribution we make.
You too can support original reporting when you invest $100 a month or $1,200 a year as a Leadership Circle member at nhpr.org/leaders.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and New Hampshire Magazine, featuring the accomplished lawyers, new restaurants, and a colorful look at the legacy of the state's famous poet, Robert Frost, nhmagazine.com. And Birch Hill, a nonprofit retirement community for independent adults with on-site healthcare in a country setting just minutes from downtown Manchester. Tour appointments at birchhillrc.org. And KCP and Catamount Arts presenting Ricky Skaggs, an evening of country and bluegrass music, Friday, November 15th at 7 p.m. Information at catamountarts.org. You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Kate McNally, and we're here in the studio with Emma's Revolution. Now, tell us a little bit about the Emma's Revolution story. How did you guys actually become the duo?
Well, you know, We became the duo, actually, because Sandy heard my song Swimming to the Other Side, played on a cassette by a friend many years ago.
Yes. It must have been a while ago.
It was a long time ago, and I loved the song so much, and I sent Pat a letter inviting her to come on a tour that I was organizing. I was in a different duo called Petronella.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we were doing a tour of women's songwriters to women's colleges for Women's History Month. We were very consistent. And I heard that song and I wanted to invite Pat on the tour. So I sent her a letter. People, do you remember letters? We sent a letter and a little cassette with some of our music, Petronella's music, and invited her on the tour, and she came.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I thought the songs were wonderful. I really enjoyed the stuff, and we I went on that tour and I said, you know, the only thing is I don't want it to feel like a showcase, like that would be weird to me. So, and I had been doing a lot of stuff around Clearwater during that time. So I said, let's all get together and learn some songs in common to start all the shows, and then we can each do our separate things, and then let's close all the shows together. That would feel best to me. And that, it was really fun and beautiful, and that's really how Sana and I started singing together, because she brought in this arrangement of Bread and Roses, and I thought it was just such a beautiful take on that song. You know, there are different versions of the song out there, and she did. It was just even a little bit of a combination of a newer version and the original melody that was. It just made it sound like a love song to women in the workplace, and I thought, what a great concept. So I was about to record my second solo CD, Hands, on Appleseed Recordings at the time, and I called up Sand because I wanted to have a labor-focused recording. I called her up and I said, you know, would you play that beautiful version of Bread and Roses to me? So she was singing it to me over the phone. And by the time she finished the song, I said, would you come up to Woodstock and record that with me, please?
Wow.
I was recording with my younger sister, who I always refer to as my first duo partner. Mm-hmm. And then Sand came in with my younger sister. And I had already laid down all of my tracks. So I was sitting in the booth with the engineer, and my sister Tammy and Sandy were out in the studio on their mics. And we were listening to them. And you know, we'd pop one down and then one up. And Sandy was matching my voice better than my own sister did. It was really remarkable. Wow. So it wasn't until sometime later, actually, that that we ended up, we got together as a, well, we started singing periodically, mm-hmm. on and off. We did this for about 8 years at demonstrations or at, there's a concert series called The Postscript that's in the crypt at Columbia University, because I was in the Hudson Valley and she was in New York City. So I would sing with her duo sometimes, and that was really fun. And then we ended up coming together as a couple, and right away just started writing songs very spontaneously. And our CD, One Times a Million Equals Change, was just about to come out. And I just thought, boy, if we're going to do a name change, we better do it now. You know, it's going to be hard to go back, you know. And actually, All Things Considered had done a story on my song Swimming to the Other Side. Mm-hmm. So my name was kind of out there. So we really debated this a lot, but I felt like it was important for us to have our own identity. Mm-hmm. And we just went down the list. We wanted people to know that we were women. We wanted people to know that we were doing a progressive, you know, sort of music thing. And it just all kind of came together. We thought, well, there is, you know, this woman in history, Emma Goldman, and she, you know, she spoke and wrote about free expression and about the rights of free speech and the rights of women and the rights of workers. And then she was, you know, really best known for this thing of having danced at a party, and somehow, you know, a colleague felt this behavior was too frivolous, you know, for a woman of her stature. And we always felt like we're going to be talking about really serious issues, and at the same time, we need for people to understand the need to celebrate and the need to come away feeling hopeful, like there really is some possibility for change. So we landed on the name Emma's Revolution for that reason.
From that phrase.
Yeah, and she was paraphrased. Emma Goldman was paraphrased as having said, in essence, if I can't dance, I don't want to be part of your revolution.
I love that line.
Yeah, we do.
I love that line. If I can't dance, I don't want to be part of your revolution.
She never actually uttered those exact words, but she said, you know, something, you know, to that effect.
So how does Emma's Revolution have fun?
Oh, gosh, that's such a great question.
Wow. It's hard. You're on tour. You're playing so much. You're
That's
working
true.
A lot.
We are working a lot. I love the beach. That's my favorite place to be. So, if I could walk on the beach every day, I'd be super happy. But generally, I guess, what do we do to have fun? We go hear other music, other people's music sometimes,
And,
which is lovely, which is like a major treat to get to go to a concert and not have to, you know, worry about the sound.
Do you work anyway? Do you feel like, oh, but they should have done that?
Well, I mean, there's always a little bit of that. Yeah, right. But we're living in Oakland these days, and being in the Bay Area, there's music happening all the time.
Right.
So we really get to hear a lot of different things coming through. And there's also a lot of incredibly progressive things going on, too. So that really energizes me to be able to feel like, you know, we're very engaged in all of that stuff. Plus, when I'm home, I ride my bike up in the Oakland Hills, which I really love. I don't ride up from the bottom to the top of the Oakland Hills, mind you. I drive to the top, and then I drive I ride in the slightly less hilly part. But you know, it gets my heart rate up. You know,
I like going downhill way a lot better.
Yes,
I like a little of both. You know, I need a little of both.
Nice. Yes. Did you ever want to be a politician?
You know, I actually didn't think about being a politician, but I actually have thought about and sometimes think about it being a minister. Because we speak to people, we're on stage, it's like a similar skill, but being a politician, no, that's way too much stress.
I think about it sometimes because I definitely am, I'm a news junkie. I always have been from the time I was a very little kid. And I really like to be involved in what's going on. I like to feel like I'm making a difference. I think about it, but I also think I'm not sure that I would be cut out, frankly, for the particular kinds of compromises that one has to make within the system. But I love connecting with folks that are in the system and giving them sort of an outlet that is just outside and pushing that a little bit so that they are urged to do a little bit more when they can. And like we've just recently met up with the council president in Oakland and are excited about the work she's doing around homelessness and things that are issues there. So, it's always in the back of my mind.
Emma's Revolution latest album is called Revolution Now. And radio stations across the country have deemed it so amazingly popular. So it was voted the top artist number 20, also top album number 24, top song number 25. Mm-hmm. And that top song is the one they started out with, the Sing People Sing. Mm-hmm. So Emma's Revolution doing some great things. The new album again is Revolution Now. What label is that on? Do you have a label for Emma's Revolution? It's Emma's Revolution.
We've been doing our own stuff for
own things.
A long time.
That's our own
Excellent.
Thing.
Yep. Moving forward music.
That's the way to go. That's the way to go.
Yeah,
well,
right.
I am. The time has gone by way too fast. I feel like I could sit and chat for hours.
We like to do that. That's what we do for fun.
Yeah. There you go. That's how you take care of yourself.
We do. We do. We're happy to play you one song to go out if you've got time for that.
Sure.
Otherwise,
one more song. That would be super. What are you going to play?
Guitar.
So this is a version of a song that you have heard before, I'm pretty sure. If you grew up in this country and if you went to school, public schools especially, or even, you know, some of those little private schools and camps and things like that. But this is just a slightly different turn on that song. But if you're singing wherever you are, sing any version that you know and it will work with this one. This is... Now, when Lee Hayes first wrote the words to this song, he said there was kind of this tacit agreement that we all identified somehow with being brothers. And then years went by and a woman came up to Pete and said, "Pete, I'm feeling kind of left out." So they started singing Brothers and Sisters. And then a trans friend of ours came up to us in Oakland and said, "Pet, I'm just feeling kind of left out." So we thought, well, okay, let's find something that'll scan and So we started singing all of the resistors. And then someone suggested all of the persisters. Mm. So, you know, wherever you come from, whatever direction you're coming from here, know that we see you and we love you, and you're all, you know, we're all in this together. So yeah. Sing along.
Thank you so much for having us, Kate.
Thanks. Anytime.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Revolution. Thank you for stopping by the Folk Show.
Thank you so much.
This is NHPR. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and CASA of New Hampshire, helping to make a life-changing impact on children who've experienced abuse or neglect. Volunteers can help change a child's story. More at casanh.org. And GDS Associates, providing independent energy consulting services to homes, businesses, and municipalities in the Granite State for over 20 years, gdsassociates.com. And Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare, providing flexible health plans for any budget to communities across New Hampshire. Get healthy, get happy. Learn more at getharvardpilgrim.com. This is WEVO Concord Manchester 89.1, WEVS Nashua 88.3, WEVH Hanover 91.3, WEVN Keene 90.7, WEVC Gorham 107.1, WEVJ Jackson 99.5, WEVF Colebrook 90.3, and WEVQ Littleton 91.9. Next Sunday evening on The Folk Show, our guest will be Joyce Anderson. Be safe, stay well, and thanks for listening to The Folk Show here at NHPR.